Timothy chapter 5. We want to biblically qualify the widow and the orphans by the Bible. Say, by the Bible. We want to qualify by the Bible, because we are to give to the widows and the orphans. In the Old Testament, it even talked about how that the tithe was to be for the Levites, that is, those who were given the task of ministering the holy things in the house of God. The tithe was to be for them, and the tithe was to be for the widows and the orphans and the strangers. Strangers happen to be people who are not a part of the covenant. Again, they get blessed by the church. But you start with the church first. Now, since we are to give to the widows, we need to qualify who they are. 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
And let us start with verse, verse 3. I will read aloud and then you follow along with me. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Are you there?
Amen.
For if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Dead alive. That's a message, elders. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own and specially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, there it is again, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refused. Notice that, the younger widows. So you have widows and then you have some younger widows. See, we got to qualify this because this is an obligation. We're responsible to give unto the widows and the orphans. We're responsible to give unto the poor and to the needy. So he says that the younger widows refuse. Say that. The younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believe have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Are you there? Now, I want to read that same, from that same chapter of 1 Timothy from the Living Bible. Now, I'm going to use the Living Bible tonight. I don't usually use the Living Bible, but I believe the Living Bible is going to help clarify and give unto us some insight and crystallize some of these truths that we're sharing here on tonight. This is the Living Bible, and you follow along with me now. Starting with chapter 5, and I'm looking at the third verse. This is how it reads. The church should take loving care of women whose husbands have died, if they don't have anyone else to help them. But if they have children or grandchildren, these are the ones who should take the responsibility. For kindness should begin at home, supporting needed or needy parents. Now look my way. And I'm going to say this just in passing, and I pray the Holy Spirit will be able to breathe and make it alive or real where I'm coming from with this. Now we have what is considered convalescent homes, or some call them old folks homes. They used to call them old folks homes. And we're living in a day and time before the old folks really get to be old folks, we want to put them away. It's amazing how one parent, if not two parents. Many of us have been raised in one parent household. Thank God for dad also. Dad and mom, and the day in which we live in now, some of the moms are abandoning the children. But listen to me. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for loving parents that have the stuff to stick in the tough times, who did not abandon us, who did not leave us. Mothers and fathers, even stepfathers, even stepmothers, foster mothers. It's amazing how you can have one parent that can raise six kids, but when that parent get older, six kids can't help one parent. Hello. Oh, hallelujah. It's amazing. Everybody gets busy and nobody wants to help. But when we were babies, they had to change our diaper, had to do this, that, and the other. Now, I know there are some circumstances that people have to do that, put them away. But I'm telling you, for the most part, we need to get back to the Bible. Amen. I'm not talking about parents who want to lay up on their children. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying, listen, God knows that the time in which we're living in, we should be better off than our parents. Hello. Amen. I mean, that a true parent, that's their truest desire. They want their children to have more than they have, do better than they have, and therefore we ought to be, listen, the Bible says in the church, in the house of God, that if you got children, if you got grandchildren, they should help. Hello. I'm feeling like Mr. Rogers. It says, verse 4, but if they have children or grandchildren, these are the ones who should take the responsibility. For kindness should begin at home, supporting needy parents. This is something that pleases God very much. Let me say that one more time. This is something that pleases God very much. The church should care for widows who are poor and alone in the world. Do we know any widows who are poor and alone? They don't have anyone. If they are looking to God for his help and spending much time in prayer, but not if they are spending their time running around, gossiping, seeking only pleasure, and thus ruining their souls. Verse 7, this should be your church rule. Say, church rule.
Church rule.
The law of the house. So that the Christians will know and do what is right. But anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than a heathen. A widow who wants to become one of the special church workers should be at least 60 years old and have been married only once. She must be well thought of by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to the strangers as well as to other Christians? Has she helped those who are sick and hurt? Is she always ready to show kindness? The younger widows should not become members of this special group. Let me say it once again. The younger widows should not become members of this special group, because after a while they are likely to disregard their vow to Christ and marry again. So they will stand condemned because they broke their first promise. Besides, they are likely to be lazy and spend their time gossiping around from house to house, getting into other people's business. Incidentally, not only women, but I'm talking about men. If you would examine the intent of what he's saying, this is male and female. Usually, if a man is not working, he's just as bad as the woman. He's into other people's business. I feel like Mr. Rogers. See, the reason why Paul was saying the young women, because, you know, we're living in a changing time. Back then, Paul knew. Men, they knew they had to work. But today, people, you know, if I don't like this job or that job, I'm going to just lay up and let my wife do the work. And well, that kind of a person moves around and is a busybody, usually in other people's business. Now, I'm being kind tonight. So I think it is better for these young women to marry again and have children and take care of their own homes. Then no one will be able to say anything against them. For I am afraid that some of them have already turned away from the church and been led astray by Satan. Let me remind you again that a widow's relatives must take care of her and not leave this to the church to do. Then the church can spend its money for the care of widows who are all alone and have nowhere else to turn. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that we ought to give to the widows who are widows indeed. And then the orphans. Who are the orphans? Well, James the first chapter, he closes it out by talking about the orphans or the fatherless. We're living in a day that we ought to, listen how I'm saying this now, we ought to provide male images for boys without fathers. We cannot be their father. See, too many times we get mixed up in this thing. You get too close and try to be a father to a little boy. He doesn't necessarily understand if you are his father and that's his mother, then you and the mother ought to be. And so therefore, when a real father comes in that child's life, that child already have accepted you as his father. Now the child's getting some mixed signals. What we need to be is big brothers to the little brothers. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
We ought to be big brothers to the little brothers. And to be a big brother, that means you take out time, you spend some of your money. And so as a result of that, you're giving to the fatherless or to the orphans. Now I want to move to the second portion of this tonight. And the second portion, we said we need some helps and hints in knowing whom to give in terms of your own ministers. Say, my own ministers.
My own ministers.
You're getting quiet on me tonight. My own ministers and other ministers and ministries. Now, since we're here in the book of 1 Peter, I'm going to pick up the narrative on the 17th verse. This will help explain this. In verse 17, 1 Timothy, amen, thank you. That's my help meet. That's helping me tonight. 1 Timothy, is that what I said? Chapter 5, verse 17. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Is that how your King James says it?
Amen.
Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Read verse 17 collectively with me and shout it out. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially them who labor in the word and doctrine. Now read verse 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his hire. Now listen to this, how it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the 17th verse. And this again is the Living Bible. It says, pastors. That word elders there, it says pastors or your ministers. Notice it says pastors. That's elders, plural. Pastors, plural. Who do their work well. My goodness. Pastors who do their work well should be paid well. Have you ever been wanting to just say a scripture and you never could get around it? I've been waiting for this kind of scripture for years. Where have you been? Pastors who do their work well should be paid well. Ooh, if I had enough time, I can get you all a Living Bible. We can just stay here tonight. Pastors who do their work well should be paid well and should be highly appreciated, especially, say especially, those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Now, thank God for visiting, but you see, the visiting comes with your deacons, elders, but he's saying, now, pastor, your first, now somebody say, the pastor's high call is to be a man that labors, well, I'm just saying this, a man that labors in the word and preaches. But you see, that's not a pastor's high call, that's his whole call. That's his whole call. That's his work. Now, see, many people didn't think that what a pastor does is work. Now, you listen closely because I'm going to qualify something right now. Right. See, a lot of people don't think that what a pastor does, what does he do? Let me show you. Pastors who do their work well should be paid well and should be highly appreciated, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Now, look my way. Usually, now, if a pastor has really worked hard, if he's really labored in the word, if he's really done what he should have done, when he gets up and preaches to God's people, it looks so easy that anybody can do it. Now, understand, the gifts and callings of God are without repenting. God is never sorry about who he called. But you see, God sometimes becomes sorry because they don't work hard at their calling. So people look at a pastor and they say, well, you know, I mean, it's like in their mind sometime, of course, none of you ever thought this way. But in their mind sometime, what they think, well, the pastor, he just opens up the word and things jump out on him. Or when he gets up, he opens up the Bible and he just shoots from the hips. The first thing comes to his mind, comes out of his mouth. Now you listen closely now. It's a laboring. The Bible ought to know what he's talking about. In other words, God ought to know what he's talking about. He says, preacher, you got to study to show yourself approved, first of all, unto God. Don't you give something to God's people that haven't been approved by God. So if it's going to be approved by God, you got to wait on the Lord. You got to lay before God the same way that you go out there and work. You don't go out there and work and you can accomplish your duty or accomplish your work in 15 minutes and 20 minutes and 30 minutes. No, they pay you most of the time for 8, 9 hours, 10, and sometime overtime a day. So your time is involved. So if it's work, think about it this way. If it's work, your time is involved. He can't rush in and get a word from God 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then he goes and play. What does he do? He's got to stay before God. How many of you, now listen, how many of you open up your Bible and things just jump out on you? You come to church and you read the word of the Lord in your own time. You come to church, you open up the Bible, the preacher begins to preach the word of the Lord to you, and all of a sudden you say, I've never seen that before. Where did that come from? You see, he had to dig to get it. It was there all the time, but he had to dig deep and get that out for you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, all work and no play, somebody said, makes Jack a dull boy. But all play and no work make Jack a poor boy. Now hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. You got many of pastors and many of preachers who are called by God, anointed by God to preach the gospel. How is it that some have something and others have nothing? How come that listen, you can have one restaurant cooking food, but nobody wants to come, or a few people come. Then you can have another restaurant, they cooking food, and it's a combination of things. But I tell you, what needs to be the primary thing, that's the food that you eat. You must like it. So it has something to tie in with a good cook. Now God is saying that if the guy is cooking good, he ought to get paid well. There's a difference between a short order cook and a chef. Hello. And so here we find, he says, the pastors, you see, many of pastors, they want to play all day. It's all right to drink a little coffee sometime. I mean, listen, you ought to do some work sometime. Many of us, we want to get in our bass boats and we want to go fishing all the time. Well, we ought to be on our face before God. Well, we ought to be fasting sometimes. Many of us, we want to spend a whole lot of time on the golf course. Where God is saying, especially those who work hard in the Word. Meaning when you work hard in the Word, you got to put some time in. I told you before, the only one that ought to rush in like a mighty wind is the Holy Ghost. And when he get there, a pastor ought to be waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we think we rush in. Give me a word tonight. Tomorrow is service time. You got to spend time before the Lord. You got to lay before God. You got to say, God, you got to get a hold of a word from God and say, I won't let it go until you bless me. Until you show me what this word means. Well, some of you don't believe this. And so he says, those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, verse 18, never tie up the mouth of an ox when it is treading out the grain. Let him eat as he goes along. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 now. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. My first point I want you to see is I'm simply saying, that we ought to give to also to the to your ministers, other ministers, and ministries. I know somebody is saying already, when I say give to your ministers, other ministries, I can hear it. I can hear it in the realm of the Holy Ghost. I can hear it. Somebody is saying, you know, my God, I mean, what in the world would I get if I'm giving? You say I got to give my tithe to the church. Now you say I got to give beyond the tithe. Now you're saying when I give beyond the tithe, I got to give to the poor and to the, the poor and the needy. And now you just added in the orphans and the widows. Now you're telling me I got to give to ministers and other ministries. Where am I going to get this all from? Now, I'm glad you asked that question. I want you to think with me. I want you. Now, I'm going to show you something right here. I want you to think with me. Hold your finger there at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll turn back there. Go in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. I'll show you something. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3. Once you found your place, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Say, amen.
Amen.
Now, last week I told you to blink at one another, but I'm not going to tell you to blink no more. I start telling men to blink at men. People listen to this message on the radio or by tape. They say, men are blinking at men. I mean, can you imagine us men blinking at one another? We don't need no help in this day in which we're living in. Can I hear you say amen? Okay, so in verse 10, now look at Malachi 3:10. Verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. First of all, he says, will a man rob God? That's in verse what? 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Notice God says robbed. In tithes and offerings. Notice he says tithes and offerings. So in other words, what I have been sharing with you, given beyond the tithe, that is given offerings, that's a part of this giving process with God. It's not just the tithe. We got to get beyond the tithe and give some offerings. And if we don't, then we're robbing God. Now, in verse 10, he says, after he says, you're cursed with the curse, for you robbed me even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. Notice this now. Once again, if I will not what? Open you. He's talking about you, the windows of heaven, and pour what? You out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Read the entire 10th verse and read it aloud like you hear. Bring ye all
tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out.
That there shall not be room enough to receive. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, look my way. This is how this goes. See, God says concerning tithes and offerings, I opened up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour you out a blessing. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Not room enough to receive it. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Not room enough to receive it. So if you don't have the room for it, you don't get it. Many of you have been saying, well, I've been giving my tithe, but it's not overrunning on me because you don't have room for it. You don't get it. I'll pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. So what do I need to do? I got to make more room. I got to make more room in order for me to receive it. Now, how do I make more room? If I got to make more room in order for me to receive it, I make more room by increasing my giving.
Hallelujah.
So I start off just giving to the church, my tithes, and the church an offering, giving to my minister. And now listen, see, if you haven't gotten to giving to your minister an offering, you don't have room enough to receive it, do you? Because you got to make room. You got to say, now God, now remember we started off by saying this has to be a goal. It has to be a desire. You have to have a craving, hungering, a thirsting, and a desire to be a giver. God is looking for givers. That's why Paul said it is more blessed to give. God's looking for people who have the kind of heart that he has to give. He needs more channels. He needs more channels. Why do we think God wants to give unto us when we don't have room enough to receive it? Why do we think God want to give us something that we don't have room enough to receive so that we can be a blessing and give to someone else that needs it? You receive it because somebody else needs it. Oh, glory to God. Go to St. Luke chapter 6. St. Luke chapter 6. St. Luke the 6th chapter. You're still over there in 1st Corinthians, aren't you? Look at St. Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Somebody say, Yes, indeed. Look at St. Luke chapter 6. And I want you to focus your attention with me on the... Let's start with the 38th verse for the sake of time. Most of us are well familiar with this verse of scripture. Notice what it says. Give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Once again, and this time you say it and say it aloud. Give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now again, I want to read it from the Living Bible. Listen how it puts it. Now remember, make room. Say make room.
Make room.
Say make room.
Make room.
I need to make room.
I need to make room.
Now how do we make room when we increase our giving? You'll be surprised if you just had a desire that I want to give to my wife. That's more than what you've been giving. And the Lord will give it to you. He's looking for channels, people that would serve as channels of blessing. I want to give to my elders. It would certainly be a nice thing. The deacons and the deaconess, they serve the body of Christ with their time and talent and with the money following up, and so it certainly would be good in every deacon fellowship for somebody, if I can use this term for lack of a better one, if somebody would serve as a captain to make sure when my deaconess, when her birthday come around, we're going to make sure that we can chip in and give her something. When my deacon, when his time come around, we're going to make sure we're going to get, you'll be surprised how God will bless you. You're making room. Why don't we give to the deacons? How about your elder and the elder's wives? If they labor among us, God, I'm going to make sure that I be a, God, I want to be a blessing to elder and sister Scott. I want to be a blessing to Sister Joy. You'll be surprised. See, start looking for opportunity, not for, listen, not ducking opportunities, but look for opportunities to be a channel of his blessing to somebody around you. See, most of us are looking for a blessing, but we need to look for an opportunity to be a blessing. We ought to give to your ministers and to other ministers. Say, make room.
Make room.
And it certainly wouldn't hurt to even give unto your pastor.
Amen.
Holy Ghost, you're making me say these things. It certainly would be a nice thing if you helped and gave unto your... Now, many of you, you do that. But that's a good thing. See, Paul had to tell the church in Corinth, I'm going to show you, he had to tell them to do this. It's amazing, you don't have to tell some people, but other people, they need a little helps and hints. And knowing to whom they ought to give to.
Amen.
It's a blessing to say, I want to be a channel of your blessing, God. Say, make room.
Make room. world.
Listen how the Living Bible says it. Verse 38 of chapter 6, St. Luke. For if you give, you will get. If you give, you will get. If you don't get, maybe you need to check out, am I giving? You say, I've been giving, but I haven't been getting what I'm expecting. I'm going to show you why. For if you give, you will get. Your gift will return. Your gift will return to you. Your gift will return. Your gift, what you give, will return to you. What you get, what you don't give, can't return it. Your gift will return to you. In full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaking together to make room for more. That's what it says here. Listen, it says, a good measure pressed down, shaken together to make room for more.
Thank you, Jesus.
And running over, whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you.
Amen.
Say, make room.
Make room.
So when I present this before you, if you got the revelation, then you become excited, in which I know most of us are. You become excited because you say, God, I'm discovering my obligation is to give unto the poor and the needy. I am discovering that my obligation is to be a blessing unto the widows and to the orphans. I'm discovering that my obligation is to give to my ministers and other ministers and ministries. Turn back over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Ooh, this is something tonight, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we want to start, if you would, at the, start with the 7th verse. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
7th verse. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charge? Who plant a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Did we just read that or not? Do God care? Do God take care for the ox in question, he's asking? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sake, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thrusteth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power or privilege or authority, but suffer all things, lest we should be lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, again, listen to it in the Living Bible. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with the 7th verse. What soldier in the army has to pay his own expense? When you joined the army, did they make you pay for your uniform, for your M16, for your gas mask? Absolutely no. And have you ever heard of a farmer who harvests his crop and doesn't have the right to eat some of it? What shepherd takes care of a flock of sheep and goats? So in other words, a shepherd has some goats too. My father in the faith, Reverend Wilson, who went home to be with the Lord, and I was blessed to preach his funeral. He said to me years ago, he says, listen, don't worry about people that sleep on you and people that talk about you and people that this and that and that and that. He says, because he says, everybody's not going to be a sheep. There's also some goats. He says, but that's all right, because the little bit that the goats give, it'll help pay light bills and things of that nature. How right Reverend Wilson is. He's always been a righteous man. And so he says, the shepherd takes care of a flock of sheep and goats and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk. And I'm not merely quoting the opinions of men as to what is right. I'm telling you what God's law says. For if the law... For in the law God gave to Moses, he said that you must not put a muzzle on an ox to keep it from eating when it is treading out the wheat. Do you suppose God was thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he also thinking about us? Of course he was. He said this to show us that Christian workers should be paid by those they help. Those who do the plowing and thrusting should expect some share of the harvest. We have planted good spiritual seed in your souls. Is it too much to ask in returning for mere food and clothing? You give them to others who preach to you, and you should. Now, I want to say right here. Now, listen to me. When it says you give to others who preach to you, and you should. I said a part of who we give to, first of all, is our ministers, and then to others, other ministers and ministries. Now, when I say we give to our ministers, I gave you just a few. But we have ministers in here who have proven themselves, Johnny and Cookie McGee, who's proven themselves. Now, we as a church, let me tell you what happens. We as a church, we give them a base, what we call a base pay. So that when he goes out and preach, and the same thing with Dwight Elijah, so that when they go out and preach, that they don't have to be concerned, is my rent going to be paid back here? Now, before we embarked upon to do that, that is Johnny McGee and Cookie McGee, they had to go out and preach for a whole year without any support. Of course, we gave them handfuls and purposes. We gave them little money like that. But they had to make full proof of your ministry. Because, see, a lot of folks just looking, I'm telling you, we got hustlers out here as preachers. They're looking for some church that can pay their bills and everything while they just run around and do absolutely not what God's calling them to do. Because if God called you to do it, and if it's your time to do it, then God will supply the need. You don't need help from man. You need help from God. And God says, make full proof of your calling. So part of your tithes and offerings, of course, it goes to help to set a base for them so that when they go and preach in churches, perhaps that simply have a handful, they don't have to count heads. They've already proven themselves. Some preachers won't come and preach in certain churches if they don't have a certain amount of people. They want to know how much they're going to get up front before they come and preach. Now, the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his hire. We don't go anywhere. I don't go anywhere and preach for money. I do not set a price on my preaching. My preaching is not for a premium of people's money. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Listen to me now. And I got to watch how I said. I certainly don't want to send out a wrong message. Ministers, many ministers on the television, I've said before, whether they're on television or not, you have a whole lot of gimmicks and games, dreaming and scheming just to get people's money. I'm telling you, they're spiritual hustlers. I used to be in the world. I haven't been always saved. I know a hustle when I hear one. I'm telling you the truth. I know a hustle when I hear one. And God's people are not stupid, but what? They're smart. We want to be smart. We don't want to be stupid. We don't want to be dumb. And so you have ministers on television. And how you can, listen, one of the ways that I measure, are they preaching the gospel? Are they feeding my spirit? Or are they taking the lion's share of their time asking for my money? Are they on television to ask for money, or on their television, on television to preach the gospel? Now listen, how do we know that we ought to, what ministries we ought to give to? First of all, if you got evangelists in the house, if you got people in the house, you can write right on your envelope. Now I'm going to show you how you do it. How you keep yourself humble. Of course, you can give it to them. You can walk up and give it to them. But you can put it right on the envelope. I want to give to so-and-so, so-and-so. They'll get it. We'll make sure of that. It'll keep you humble. Keep you out of the way. God just using you as a channel and his influence. Now, how do I know what ministries to give to on television? Well, first of all, listen to me. Listen to me closely. You may be being fed by a ministry on television, and that may be where you get your lion's share of teaching. I'll just use the Christian House of Prayer. Let's say if you're coming here, but you say, well, I'm not really being fed as such here. I'm being fed by somewhere else. I would dare to say that you even ought to give your tithes there then, as that's where you're being fed. See, Wherever God has placed his name, if he's placed his name in a storehouse there, and if they're teaching you more than what you're getting here, see, I'm trying to tell you, listen, God can take care of this house. He has taken care of this house. You can give it there. If that's what God's telling you to do. Now listen to me. On the other hand, if this ministry is feeding you, teaching you, and you're getting the lion's share of your information and your revelation from here, then you need to understand where God's telling you to put it. Now, what about the ministries on the television? Now listen, this is how you can judge this. You say, well, I'm not getting my lion's share there, but I'm getting something there. I'm getting some teaching from this. Now listen, if the ministry on television is reflecting your convictions, your belief, persuasion, or your views, if the ministry on television is reflecting your convictions, your beliefs, or your views, then you ought to support that. Why? Because you say, in essence, we're not on television, they're on television, they need our support, other ministries need our support, and if they are reflecting our views and convictions, we ought to give to them. Because you see, some people that you were witness to and come in contact with, they say, well, I'm not going to church, because they're tired of the hypocrisy. They're tired of the foolishness. They're tired of the flamboyant. They're tired of all of this gimmicks and games. They're tired of just coming to church being emotionalized. And if there's a ministry on television reflecting your convictions, your beliefs, and your views, you ought to support it, because one of the ways that people can come to your church is if you say, well, you know, our ministry, what we teach and what we believe, it's like, and you can direct them to a television program. You can tell them, I want you to watch so-and-so Sunday morning. Our ministry is similar to that. We believe the same thing. We teach the same thing. We have the same convictions. I want you to watch whoever it may be. Let's just say, for example, if it's Catholics that's on television, this is not a put down to Catholics, Catholics, Lutherans, Pentecostals, whatever. If the Catholics are on television, then a Catholic should want people to turn in and watch Father so-and-so. And watch them and say, well, this is what we Catholics believe. If it's Pentecostal, the Pentecostal should have his convictions to say, well, I want you to turn into so-and-so, so-and-so. Our teaching is much like that. See, because whatever people watch on television, this is the reason why television ministries are vitally important. Because whatever comes across that tube, it represents Christ. And this is what people are going to believe. Many people, they've been raised in, let's just say, a Baptist church or Catholic church or Lutheran, whatever. This is not a Baptist. This is not a Lutheran. This is not a Catholic. This is a Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel church. Well, if they've never been to a full gospel church, and if they have been to a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, and let's say that they were not moved by the Spirit of God in that church, they think your church is like that church. That's the reason why they say, no, I've been to church. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? That's the reason why, if it's a ministry on television that is promoting and preaching your convictions, your points, your views, you ought to support. Or we can support. By the way, this church, so that you know, a part of your tithes and offerings, we support at least, as a church, we support at least, what is it? TBN, Crenshaw Christian Center. That's Fred Price Ministry. Yeah, on television. We also have supported Kenneth Copeland, so you know. James Kennedy, we have sent offerings into them. Something about James Kennedy ministry, he's more or less on that political realm, but I see him as a man that's calling a people or a nation, as it were, back to God. He deals with abortions. See, I don't deal with those issues. But I can echo that. I can say, hey, preach it, brother. We need to have that preaching. That's not my calling. Pastor Jack Hayford, are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so it says right here, verse 12, you give them to others who preach to you, and you should, but shouldn't we have an even greater right to them? Yet we have never used this right, but supply our own needs without your help. We have never demanded payment of any kind for fear that if we did, ye might be least interested in our message to you from Christ. Don't you realize that God told those working in his temple to take for their own needs some of the food brought there as gifts to him? And those who work at the altar of God get a share of the food that is brought by those offering it to the Lord. Verse 14, and we close, at least close in this portion. And the same thing, in the same way, this is important, listen, verse 14. In the same way, the Lord has given orders that those who preach the gospel should be supported by those who accept it. Can I say that one more time? In the same way, the Lord has given orders that those who preach the gospel should be supported by those who accept it. Something that I'm believing God for in this church, before this year is out, we want to organize. We already have missionaries, Bill and Patty Herndon. They go down to Mexico. They take clothes down there. We're going to rally together with the campaign. And some of you, perhaps, you'd like to be a part of that missionary program. You'd like to go down to Mexico and minister. You'll be surprised what it would do for your life. We want to support. See, we got people in our own midst. Bessie Thomas with the soup kitchen. Many times people say, well, let's send money because the poor needs to eat. And we see programs on television, feed the poor and this, that, and the other. I'm not saying we shouldn't give, but you ought to take care of that which is in your own house first. The soup kitchen. Well, we got poor over in such and such and such a. We got poor right here in Coppers Cove and Killeen. We don't look around in our own city. See, I'm responsible to God for Coppers Cove, Fort Hood, Killeen, Hawker Heights, Nolanville. I'm saying let's give to the poor here. Let's take your business home first. Then you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Bessie Thomas is feeding the poor in Killeen. Right in Killeen. It's good to give canned goods. It's good to give food. It's good to give money. But see, we just see those out there. And somehow we think, well, that's more important than, but God's called you. Do you think you're in Coppers? Do you think you're in the Christian house of prayer by accident? We got needs here. We ought to support home. Paul is saying, man, listen, if you give, you'll be surprised. Ministers come here and many of God's people bless their hearts. They'll give to ministers that will come here, not mentioning no names because of names. They'll give to them 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Wouldn't dare give that to your pastor and certainly not to your elders. That's just too much money for me. Well, he already got a Mercedes. And the person that feels like that, you didn't help me get it. See, until you walk the mile of my shoes, don't talk about them. Amen. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to simply say unto you, Paul is saying, if anybody's your elders, if anybody's your deacons, if anybody is your church, we ought to do it here. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to give you two verses of scripture. You've been mighty quiet, but you've certainly been kind. And I'm going to let you go home. And in just a moment here, I'm going to let you go home. I got about three more minutes, okay? St. Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. This is going to help us right here. Helps and hints in knowing Whom we ought to give to? We ought to give to the poor and the needy, including widows and orphans. We ought to give to our minister and other ministers and ministries, and we ought to give to one another. I was hoping I could take the more time on this principle, but I believe that this would help us to see something right here in the book of St. Matthew chapter 7 and the look at the 12th verse. St. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. If you're there, say, I'm there. And read that aloud for me, verse 12, if you would. Now let me read it. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. How many of us know that scripture is what we call the golden rule? The golden rule is, do unto others as you want others to do unto you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
2 Corinthians chapter 9. You are there, aren't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now remember what we just read. Make room. St. Luke chapter 6 and the 38th verse. But look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man. Remember we taught on this. This is how we give it. Every man that's personally willing and wanting. Remember we taught that? This is how you give. Every man, that is everybody, meaning personally. It's a personal thing. Everybody has to have a personal conviction about this. Every man personally. We said that means willing and wanting. Say willing and wanting.
Willing and wanting.
According as he purposed in his heart. Purposefully, that is purpose in his heart, which is what? Sowing and not throwing. We taught on this. That means you got the purpose in your heart. You got to know where you're giving the money. You got to not throw your seed, but you have to pray over your seed so that you can know where you're sowing your seed. Every man personally willing and wanting, according as he purposed in his heart, purposefully not throwing his seed, but sowing his seed. So let him give. Not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we said personally, purposefully, and with a praise, praisefully. Now, we pointed out to you when we said praisefully, what that is indicating, praisefully, is I'm believing that I'm receiving. When I give personally, that is I'm willing and I'm wanting. Purposefully, I'm not throwing my seed. I'm very direct. I am sowing my seed. When I say praisefully, I'm indicating that there is a believing for the receiving. I'm believing God to receive from God. Now think with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, turn there since we're there. I want you to see this. Look at verse 11 and 12. Now therefore, Paul talking about this giving, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. For if there be first, a what? Willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has and not according to that he has not. Now follow this close. This is going to help us tremendously as we leave here tonight. There must be a willing and wanting. We said when you give, you must do it personally. It's a conviction. It's an individual thing. Personally, willing and wanting. purposefully, I'm not throwing my seed. I'm very direct. I'm purposing where I sow my seed, making sure it's the right ground, making sure I've heard from God. And then, praisefully, God loves a cheerful giver, or one that praises God for the act of giving. Now, praisefully, we said, mean believing for receiving. Now, notice this. There must be a willing and wanting call. Many a people do unto others as you want others to do unto you. Many of people are wanting to get what they are not willing. Is it a car? What is it that you want? What is it that you want to get? See, many of people, now remember, St. Luke chapter 6, men will give into your bosom. It's not coming from the balcony of God. It's not coming from the balcony of God. It's got to come through the hands of a man or a woman. Am I willing to give to Deacon Richard what I'm wanting somebody to give to me? Amen. See, a lot of people are willing, they're wanting to get something. I'm believing God for my whatever it is. I'm believing God for, it has got to come through the hands of a man or a woman. I'm believing God for whatever it is, a car. I'm believing God for whatever it is. Now, in order for you to believe God for that thing, you must be willing to believe God that you can give that thing. What I need to do is have faith in God, and I need to give what I have so I can get what I give. He says, you want to get the gift that you give. If you don't give a gift, you don't get a gift. We got to give to one another. If you want someone to give to you, what is it that you are believing God for? See, a lot of people are believing God for something that they can't believe God to give that. Let me close. Elder Matthew said, man, that is a startling tie you got on. That's a beautiful tie you got on. And Valerie got something that matched it. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm telling you, I'm living what I'm preaching. I have bought people ties. I'm not talking about a $25 one. I'm not talking about just the $20 one. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I bought suits. Now, I'm not bragging on me, but I want you to know something. I believe what I preach. I had a man, about a month or so ago, walk up on the platform. I don't know how the ushers let him get that close to your pastor. But walk right up on the platform, lay it in my hand, and said, God told me to give this to you. I didn't know what it was. People give me stuff all the time. Went home and opened it up, $1,000. $1,000. One person. He said, man, God, he said, I just came from that was during the Kenneth Copeland meeting, Justice Plan. I just came from there, and man, I was sitting in the back while he was praising the Lord, singing. They lifting the offering. He gave his offering, walked up and gave me, I didn't know what he gave me, $1,000. See, you got to be willing to give. What is it that you want in people? He says that people will give into your bosom. Is it money? When did you give somebody some money? I'll give them my time. Well, then that's what you get back, is their time. That's all. You got to give what you are believing God that somebody's going to give. Is it a dress? Is it one of your hand-me-downs? What kind of shoes are you giving stuff that you wouldn't dare wear? See, the key to this, you must be willing and wanting. Too many of us are wanting and willing. and not willing. So many of us, we want someone. See, he says, and men will give into your bosom.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
He says, with the same measure that you meet. It says in the Living Bible, if it's little, then that's what you get back. If it's large, then that's what you give. When he talk about little, he's not talking about little in terms of volume, but little in terms of value. If it means little to you, see, if your giving doesn't mean anything to you, what make you think God's impressed with it? If what you give to God, if what you give to God is not impressing you, what make you think God's impressed with your giving? If it's insignificant to you, if you can take it or leave it, God is saying, take it, don't leave it. God says, I want you to give something that moves you. I want you to give something that cost you. Because if it means something to you, it's going to mean something to the person you give it to. That's why you got to have a heart. You got to say, God, I want to give. See, God is going to give it to you. He just want to know, do you want to give to your wife? Do you want to give to your husband? Do you want to give to your brother? Do you want to give to your sister? God needs men that he can give so they can give it. But they cannot give it if they are wanting to receive it without God, first of all, putting it in the spirit that they say, I'm willing to give what I'm willing to get. They got to watch it now. Somebody say, well, you know, Bishop, if I had it to give, I would give it. You need to ask yourself, what did you do with it when you had it to give? Maybe if you gave it when you had it, you will now have it to give. I'm believing God that this revelation of giving, starting with the tithe, would challenge us to change, would bring about such an explosion within us that when we leave here, when we get through with the revelation of giving, starting with the tithe, you will make room. You won't have room enough, so you got to make more room. God's not going to run out. God is asking you, come on, why don't you make room? Why don't you make room? I'm needing some more channels so that men can give into your bosom. And when men give into your bosom, it's because you was an instrument willing to give into theirs. I say to myself as well as to you, God, I want to be willing to give what I'm wanting to get. If I can't give 1,000, there's no sense in me wanting to get one. I must be willing to give. Now, somebody say, well, I'm willing to give 1,000. He's going to challenge you. Start right where you are. Is it $10? So that's all. See, he's not asking you to give. We just read it. He's not asking you to give what you don't have. He said, give what you, start with what you do have. And I'll cause men to give it back unto you in your bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over that you need to make room. Father, we praise you and thank you. And I believe tonight that every person under the sound of my voice is challenged in such a way.